Okay. Thursday I head down. We're at State Bible Church. It's, what is it? The date? 8/15/2013. And we're going through a series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit during the dispensation of grace. Today we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit supplying and producing love in the Christian. And if we have time, we're also going to go over the ministry of expressing Christ's life in and out of us. So before we get started, it's the series is about the Holy Spirit because there's so many excesses in the church today and things that are done in the name of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think churches are rightly divided, so to, you know, kind of stay away a little bit from the topic. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very important in the dispensation of grace and in our individual lives. If we don't understand that dependence on Christ and the Holy Spirit expressing Himself through us, we're not going to understand truly how to live the Christian life. We're just going to try and perform it. So, since it's about the Holy Spirit, we're going to go to God in prayer, and the Holy Spirit, may He intercede for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for that privilege. We hear it so much, God, and we say it so much, sometimes we forget what a privilege it is to be called Your child, a member of the body of Christ. And thank You, Lord, for blessing us with every spiritual blessing. That's why we serve You, God. We're compelled by Your love. We thank You we have everything in Christ that we need to live this Christian life. Just allow Him to express His life and Your love out of us through His Holy Spirit. And I pray Your Holy Spirit will be the true teacher tonight. I offer my body as a living sacrifice, Lord. Everything within me, may You express Yourself through me tonight, Lord. May You get past my desiring to do everything the right way. And just You do it Your way, God. And may every person be touched, their minds, their spirit, their soul, their will tonight. And may Christ be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're going to start out in the ministry of supplying and producing love in the Christian. We're going to start at Romans 5:5. I mean, how do you know if something's from God? If God's, you know, speaking to your heart? Because it says Satan comes as an angel of light. He transforms himself. So, you know, if you would hear a voice or whatever, how you know that would be God's voice, you know? Satan's very clever. And we hear a lot today about the Holy Spirit speaking to me. The Holy Spirit speaks through this word. The word don't work without the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit don't work apart from this word. So this is where God will speak to us. He'll bring them truths to our mind. As we went through different things, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, He turns that light on in our minds as we study the word. So Romans chapter, excuse me, 5 verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So where is the love of who and where is the love of God? It's shed in our heart by what? The Holy Spirit. He pours it into our hearts, but how is He doing it? One thing, I hope we can get to Christ expressing His life in us and out of us, because it's literally Christ living in us, expressing God out of us. When you look at Christ, remember where He said, I can do nothing on my own?
Yes.
So He's God. Couldn't He do something on His own? Because He didn't come to live as God. He came to live as a man. And when He made His humanity available to the Father, and the Father expressed Himself through Him and through His Holy Spirit, and what happened? Christ said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And we were created, if, like I said, I don't know if we'll get time. Time is always the teachers or pastors' enemy. And they have this big clock in the back. I want to get a bow and arrow. But remember, Adam was supposed to be a container for the life of God. Remember, God breathed the breath of life in Adam, and Adam became a living soul. You know, he said, let's make man in our image. Well, what, does God have fingers, you know, toes, and, you know? No, it was God in the man expressing himself through the man, so when you seen Adam, you seen what God was like. Until Adam believed the lie. What, that you can be as God, you can be independent of God. What is sin then? It's being independent of God. Why is the world messed up? Because they choose to do things their way, independent of God, and I'll find meaning and purpose. I'll make up religions. I'll make up Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism. I'll make up the religion of Christianity, not true Christianity, a performance space. I can do some to make myself acceptable to God or to give myself meaning and purpose. There goes back the meaning of sin. So why is the world messed up? Because without God and the man, and man never becomes more than man, don't get me wrong. He's just, what are we? The temple of the Holy Spirit. We contain the life of God, and He will express His life out of us, and His love out of us, and His truth out of us. And that's what the Holy Spirit desires to do in us. Now, ain't that meaning and purpose to wake up for in the morning? People all over the world, think about it. Sometimes we're feeling sorry for ourselves. Well, you know, as missionaries, there ain't enough money coming in. You know, we have Brother Genesis and his family. their ministry is in Thailand, right? And so I feel very blessed to have them with us. And so give them like the pastor says, a faith Bible church welcome. You know, but we can think, well, this ain't going. I didn't get that promotion, or my kids are messed up, or whatever. But we're blessed beyond anything. There's people in the world. Rich, what's his name? Bill, the rich guy? Bill Gates. He's got all the money in the world, and I'll bet you he's so empty when he's alone. Mr. That one who's so against Christianity, supposed to be the smartest man in the world. You know, smart don't always make you wise. Who comes against Christianity, I'll bet he has this emptiness inside, and he can't stand it, because you know why? He's saying that, see, if I'm God, then I gotta control everything. I gotta make everything right. So I go to work to what? Make money so I can eat, right? And if my family's there, and you know, I love them, so I gotta provide for them too. But if they get in my way, like a mother, if she gets pregnant, it's in the way of my career, then I destroy my baby. You know? And so I gotta make everything work. And so it becomes what? You're just living, so, you know, I can't die, because then what? What happens after that? You know, God can't die. We think we're little gods, you know? But we are so blessed in Christ, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have Christ in us. And we can wake up in the morning, we're not lacking anything. These physical things are going to be gone. And to be used by God to touch people, to be used by God in Taiwan or wherever you're at, or while you're in America, you know, we got a lot of heathen here. You could, you know, got a little, you know, I haven't mentioned it to the pastor yet, but to have a little bit of a sign above the door when you're leaving, welcome to the mission field. Because we're coming and we're learning things in church, Bible study, why? So we can take it and apply it, right? Didn't Paul say to walk worthy of the calling? See, you were called by what? Grace. God offered you by grace through faith. It was a gift of God. What? Salvation. Life in Christ. Right? Now just walk. What does walking in the Spirit means? Keeping in step with Spirit. It's I listened to some today. It's increments, right? It didn't say hop in the Spirit. Stop. You know. But that's what we do sometimes. We get off track and we get unfocused. And Satan's very good for distracting us. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that's indwelling our spirit that what? Keeps focusing our attention back on Christ. Because we can get in ministry even, and it can be busy and barren, because we're focused on that instead of just focusing on Christ or our families, our jobs, whatever it might be. So we see it's a Holy Spirit. In verse 5 of Romans 5, that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. So first he gives us, Paul said, being being filled with the Spirit is what? Ephesians chapter 3 or 4, it said to know the height and the depth and the width and the length of love of God. Right? So when you understand, it takes the Holy Spirit to teach us, because we think that God only loves us when we're doing all the right things. Ain't that how you feel? When you're doing something, you're sharing, you're doing ministry, you're helping the poor or something, well, God's got to really be impressed and love me now. But then all of a sudden you go off on your kids or your husband or your wife, and or you disrespect your parents, whatever. Well, God's looking at me like I'm, you know, He's got to be disgusted with me. And then we come to church, right? And you see, I like the sinner's row, where Steve's at the back row. I never did like the front rows. But all of a sudden, yeah, you come a step. Last week he was there, so he's growing. You know, one step up. But God loves us unconditionally. His love isn't based on what we do, what we don't do. While we were still sinners, God demonstrated His love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, right? God demonstrated. He didn't just talk about it, you know. He demonstrated that love. And so the Holy Spirit has to teach us. And He pours His love in us. And as we're growing and understanding God's unconditional love, it's agape love. It's got nothing to do with us. It's all to do with God is love. And He's more than that. It's God is righteous and God's just. But in His essence, He is love and He's full of grace and truth. Because if Christ said that you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? What did John say Christ was full of? Grace and truth. So God loves us at our worst. Before we were saved, and does He love us less after we're saved? So you have an identity in Christ. God dealt with the sins at the cross so He would never have to bring your sins up to you again. You know, He brings your identity, who He's made you. He's made you holy, without blemish, perfect in His sight. You're accepted in the Beloved. And that's who you are. And that's who He keeps saying, walk worthy. Why? That's who you are. It's kind of dumb if this is who you are. You're a child of God. That's royalty. You got spiritual DNA going through your spiritual blood. And why would we go and eat out of garbage cans when we can eat at the Father's table? Right? See, when you start seeing yourself, you start walking. You know, and it's step by step. And then as you're walking, and as we're dependent on Christ within us, what happens? You're filled with the Spirit. And His love will fill us, and then what happens? What happens when you're so filled up, it's going to come out your ears, your mouth, your eyes, and everything. It's going to just splash to everyone around you. And we can get all the doctrine right, and we better get it right, because Paul talks about that. But you can get all the doctrine right up here, but if you ain't got the love, like where Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. You say, well, that was in, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's transdispensational. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. And out of love comes joy and peace and patience and all the way down to self-control. It's the Spirit controlling that self through what Christ accomplished at the cross. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. What kind of love is the Holy Spirit going to produce in us? Is it love just when somebody's loving to us? Which you know, in the Greek, there's four different kind of loves. In English, we just have the word love, right? You know, the women would say, I love my new purse. Guys would say, I love my new shoes or my car. You know, I love my dog. You know? But in the Greek, you have phileo love. That's like the city of brotherly love, you know, a human kind of love. And that kind of love is what? I love you if you treat me good. Right? But treat me bad. See what happens. See? And then you have storge. That's a really, I think, a mother's, that's like to your children. And I think a mother's love is the closest that we could really see a demonstration in God's love. Because a mother loves her kids even when they're bad. You ever been to court or even seen a movie? You know, guy's going to court, he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and the mom said, he's a good boy. That's a mother's love, you know. That's why it's good to have the father and mother there, both there, if you can. If not, God will give us extraordinary grace, I think, to be able to, if you had to be a father raising your children or a mother raising your children. You know, my mom raised us. And she didn't do it perfect, but she was a perfect mother for me. But she always had my back. See? So God, that's like us. Now, He looks at the world and He loves them. Right? For God, like in John where He says, "For God so loved the world." That's, He didn't love the trees and the grass and the chipmunks and the deer. He's talking about people. God loves them, but He will not accept them till they come through Christ. He'll accept them the way they are, come as a sinner. You know, when we were dead in our sins, right? And the wages of sin is death. So you come as you are. You can't clean your act up. But once you come, you got that special, unique relationship as a father to his child. And so we're in, this is the kind of love. Now we read this and we think usually of how we should love, right? Well, good luck in trying to produce this yourselves. I flunked the first thing. Love is patient or long suffering. I'm not a real patient guy, except when the Holy Spirit's controlling me. But it says God is love, right? Will God call us to love more than He loves us? No, right? God's righteous. He never does nothing wrong. So this is how God loves us too. So when you think of this, you can sort of put in your mind, God is patient because God is love, right? Or God is long-suffering. So, and the King James says charity, which you can translate love. Charity suffers long. So love suffers long. So this is how God loves us. He's patient. You know, we grieve the Holy Spirit. I grieve every day. Because sometimes thoughts and attitudes, you know. And He suffers long. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even when you're ready to give up. Sometimes, you know, a believer can get so... There's somebody on Facebook, keep his name in prayer, his last name, his name's Mike Graceman, and he said, "I felt like killing myself." He's got this very bad health thing, he's in a lot of pain, and then he's on prom with his wife and things, and so keep him in prayer, because my heart goes out to him. We can get so beat up sometimes, you know, Satan can just come against us, and if we don't apply the Word of God, you know, we're in spiritual warfare, right? I mean, a lot of time we don't wake up in the morning thinking we're in a war, do we? Felt like the pastor. What is the last one just? But we are. Like if you were over in Iraq and you woke up in the morning, would you be thinking that, hey, I'm just going to go have a good time today? Probably not, right? You'd be, you know, as a believer, you'd probably be praying, "Lord, give me, you know, help me to be alert. Use me, because there's other people that might die today." You know, but you would be prepared. You would put on your stuff. You would have your peace. You know, like in Israel, you know, when you go to the airports, I don't know if you've ever been there or seen it. They all got guns. They're ready. Because what? Why? There's always war over there in the Middle East, right? So sometimes we la ta da ta da ta da, you know, and we don't wake up and start putting on that armor if you want. You know, what I found, and I didn't think it up myself, I had heard it from someone else, but it was biblical, that in the morning I say, "Lord, here I am. I ain't much, but I offer my body as a living sacrifice unto you." That's true worship. See, so now, You're getting you focused on the Lord right away, you know. Because if we don't, Satan's got some for everybody. He knows our weaknesses, you know, and so we need to take them thoughts captive, right? You know, we're not passe in this. It's like I say, we can't live the Christian life in our own strength. It takes Christ in us to express Himself out of us and just to be who we are, and He'll live through our personalities. As we take the Word of God, we're transformed, right? But it takes the Holy Spirit in us, but there's a choice of our will. when we get tempted, all right, we have a choice. And, you know, we're new creations in Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. New creatures, new creations in Christ. The old is past. You ain't who you were when you were born in this world. You were born in Adam. You had an identity, right? What was that identity? A sinner. Right? In rebellion. You're in a rebellious race. You're a sinner. And you know the best way sinners rebel? In religion. Because it looks so good. Just be good. You know? Well, we were born in Adam, a sinner. We had a nature, a sinful nature, rebellious nature. We had a future. How? Right? Well, the moment you trusted in Christ, Romans chapter 6, that you died with Christ, who you were in that rebellious, sinful race, God, you know, people think they're good, right? They're the hardest ones to get through to. And especially, some unsaved people are more moral than some saved people.
Amen.
But they ain't alive. See? And so, every generation comes along, the one before, they had their philosophies, and they live out them philosophies, and what happens? It don't work. So in 40 years, what happens? They realize it. So the new ones come along, say, no, I'm going to live independent of God. We're going to do it my way. And in 40 years, that don't work. You would think mankind would start saying, you know, like at Cook County Jail, I used to belong to a ministry, and then they started a ministry where they gave a whole tier to believers. Do you know, it's about 90%, I believe it is, if I remember right, don't take that exactly, that returned to jail. You know, they had, I think it was 75 or more percent not returning. Well, you would think the authorities would say, this is something that works. They stopped it. See how man rejects God? Now, when we trusted that Christ died for our sins, He died our death. He's taken our place. So we identify with Him. God identifies us with Him. He takes us out of Him. He cuts us out with the circumcision done without hands, right? What's circumcision? Cutting away the flesh. He takes us out of Adam. And what do you do with the dead person? God don't clean them up. He don't clean up the flesh. Those in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. How much? Zilch. Zero. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa. I don't care if you're Billy Graham. I don't care all the good things you can do. You could give up all the world and live in a tree. Like a monk. Those in the flesh cannot please God. So what does God do? You bury the dead person. And what's He do then? There's resurrection. See, Christ didn't just die. His death took care of the penalty for our sins. That's like why God won't punish us. He'll train us, discipline us. That's different than punishment. Punishment is retaliation for a past act. But training is training you for your future. And training seems painful a lot of time at the time, right? You know, God never brings bad things on us. We live in a fallen world, right? We're new creations in Christ, but we still have that sin nature resident in our bodies. One day we'll get rid of the body. How come God didn't just take that sin nature out? I heard that question today too. Well, why didn't He take out them other people in the land when He let the Israelites go in? He left them there. You know why? Because so we could practice our faith. So we could appropriate by faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Isn't that what Scripture says? Paul said, it's no longer I live. Wait a minute, Paul. Are you a little schizophrenic here? No, if you get what he's saying, I don't live. I don't try my religious, my strength, my education, my intelligence to live the Christian life. I tried to please God. And all I was this mean Pharisee that will kill true believers, drag them to jail and destroy them. Don't care about families or nothing. And he said, nah, that's not me no more. You know what that is to me? Everything I could do on my own is what? Dung. You know what dung is? If anybody around farmers or, you know, it's cow manure. Dung. to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. So why does God allow that? Because I look to the rapture so much because I won't have the sin nature. That's the most, and pain and stuff, the older I get, the more I look for that, you know. But right now, we can glorify God more than all eternity because we won't have a sin nature, and we got to depend on Him now. And it's our choice to take and apply this word. We can't do it on our own. But when Paul says, don't do that, why? Because that ain't you no more. Don't live as the Gentiles in the futility of their mind. Because now you're a child of God, you don't have to. So we got to make a choice. When that sin nature comes and it tries to get us in fear, could be lust, it could be self-righteousness. You guys could probably give me 100 things that we struggle with, right? When them thoughts come, you got to know who you are. Yeah. You know? Right. I'm a child of God. Right. I have Christ in me. I'm a container of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's not me. I reckon myself dead. Why? Because God said I died. And you know what happened? See, that's our choice to do that. Take that thought captive. And it's all through the day. When I'm at work, man, you got to deal with people. Say, I've known business for a long time. You know, I had to deal with customers, but now it's the same people every day. And this one dude, you know, I didn't clear the table. Right now, I actually had got hired permanently I was a staffing, and it's packing up stuff, these big rolls and lamination. And anyway, I'm 57 years old, man. They got these illegals, they're working like crazy, right? And then a lot of these guys, the Packers, are guys in their 20s. I'm doing my best. Lost a little weight, I think, already, praise God. But this guy complained, and then he takes pictures, show to the boss. Well, how do you think that's making me think? And I ain't got no lockjaw. I sort of confront him the one day, I go, what's the big thing? Ah! Slaps on the table. I'm like, dude, you don't know me, what I could be like, you know? And I'm like, leave it alone. So then I'm at work today and thinking about it because he took the pictures, you know? And he left stuff on the table. And so you think, and what's the flesh do? I'll show this dude, man. He wants to play? And I said, no. Forgive as you've been forgiven. I'd rather be, because then I can't be a witness to him.
No, you can't.
Or those around me. See, and what does God want to do? Express His love out of us. His joy. And that's out of His love. And that's the Holy Spirit. See, but we got to make that choice because everything in us will say, do this. But do we want to be used of God? Then we don't want to do that. You know. And the more you walk in the Spirit, the more you're enjoying it. You know. That gets to be habits. I call them holy habits. I think that's what holiness, a part of it is, holy living. It's just, I used to respond this way, whereas I take the Word of God and I'm applying it because the Holy Spirit brings it to my mind, then what happens? I start getting good at holy habits. And then I'm available and the Holy Spirit, Christ in me, starts expressing itself in this way. And people are watching. And they're seeing. What's different about you? Though you're not going to live perfect, you know, there ain't no thing of, walk the aisle and I'll pop you in your head. You fall over and I thought the Spirit gives you life, but I guess they say He slays you, right? And all of a sudden you got this spiritual jolt, you know, and it would be nice if it was like that, wouldn't it? Or I listen to them word and faith teachers, you know, that God always wants you, He always heal you. You'll be rich, your pockets will be big, and you can just help out the poor. And of course, you could buy yourself a jet plane or like Kenneth Copeland, 5 jet planes, you know. But it ain't like that. You know, our healing program is at the rapture. But I do believe God, when He chooses, He can heal somebody. So don't say, God never heals in the dispensation of grace. You know, I write like the body of the Word. You know, because God can do what He wants. But it's not promised to us. But what's it say? Be anxious for none, but by prayer and see everything we pray to God. And we pray what? According to His will. You know, because sometimes I think of Joni Erickson Tata. Does anyone know who she is? She's a paraplegic because I believe it was from a horse. She fell.
Diving,
I'm sorry. And God uses her all over the world. If that didn't happen, and God didn't make it happen, but God works all things to our good, and she's got ministries all over the world. She reaches in and people see her. She takes a pencil in her mouth because she's paraplegic, and she does pictures, and you know, she's just got great ministry, wheelchairs to in four countries and that. And that's the love of God being expressed through her. So let's look at this. That's my preamble. Now we'll get to the verses. This is how God loves us. And it's that agape love. And the Holy Spirit will produce this in our lives as we stay independent and we make choices. See, just before we get to it, I'll give you one example. Years back, I was engaged to a lady. And she had been into that name and claim and prosperity gospel. Confess your health and wealth and all that, and it's all over TV. She had been in it for years. Well, we would go through the scriptures, and she started coming. I used to be a pastor, and she started coming to the church, and she started seeing it, started understanding grace. She gave a testimony one day. She says that now they understand grace, I'm more loving to my son. You know, that's what grace does. Grace doesn't give you license to sin, it gives you freedom to serve. Yeah. And anyway, she was getting it, and then her friends would always tell her, "Oh, Paul's still in your faith." They don't give her scriptures. They even says maybe he's the Antichrist. I says I'm too short to be the Antichrist. He's going to be a good-looking guy. Everybody's going to, you know, I got thin hair, you know, and my addiction is like Paul's. Yeah, but no grays. Anyway. Actually, she even went to her pastor one time, and she says, she told him what's going on, and she says, you know what, she said she believed me. You know why? I gave her scriptures in context. She says, he didn't give her no scriptures, just, you know, arguments. And one day, she calls me up, and her friends have been on her again, how I'm still in her faith. And I said, I ain't trying to steal nothing from you. She says, I feel like you're making me naked, you know, like, not naked, you know. But, you know, tearing everything away. And I said, I ain't doing nothing. I'm giving you the Word of God. Maybe He wants to tear a lot of them errors out of your mind. And so she calls me, and she start again because her friends were on her. And I go, I'll be right there. So I'm driving, and I'm like, Lord, look, I don't know what to do. I already, you know, I've talked to her, I went over the scriptures, and blah, 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 and all of a sudden, you know what comes to my mind? Love is patient. Love is kind. I'm like, talking about conviction, and I'm like, that's where God speaks to us. The Holy Spirit brings His Word to our mind. Now it's our choice, right? We have a will. God don't overrule your will. He works through it. It's God who works in you both to do and to will according to His good pleasure. So it's God doing it, but there's our choice. See, it's not our choice in our own strength, but it's our choice to apply and appropriate by faith what God tells us. And by the time I got there, because I'm like, you're right, Lord, look at me. I'm supposed to understand grace, and look at my attitude. You know? That's conviction. You know? And by the time I got there, we went over the scriptures again, and His love was flowing again, you know. But that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll bring the Word to our minds. And never in a condemning sense. He's going to remind you who you are in Christ. And the inconsistency, because you're not walking worthy. You know what that worthy has the idea in? The Greek? Because I do believe in going to the Greek. I believe the Greek's very important in flavors and tenses. Like where it says, you have been saved by grace through faith. That word is in the perfect tense. It means it happened once with continuing results. It's not just you got saved and maybe you won't. You ain't no more if you don't, you know, endure to the end. You know, talking about the tribulation period. So, this this is the kind of love God loves us with, and the kind of love He'll produce in us. This is love in action, because, you know, love is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not just a name. Like, you know, some guy tells some bad boy. A lot of the women seem to like bad boys, and I'm like, why? You know, they're bad. You know? You could find a good dude, and he can be cool too. Look at me. No, that's why. I used to be a little street dude, but you know, you don't want a bad guy because he's gonna treat you bad. But you know, when he'll tell you, "I love you, baby," but there ain't no action behind it. Get out that relationship as soon as possible. Any young people listening? So, in verse 4, charity or love suffers long or is patient and is kind. Charity or love envieth not. See, you're happy for other people when something happens. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, the idea is, doesn't parade itself. The best thing I could think of, the opposite of that, is Benny Hinn. Strutting around the, you know, I pray for these guys, so when I mention names, Paul mentioned names, Jesus mentioned names, and they're out there, they're on TV, and they're affecting. I know a lot of believers who watch them. But he struts around all puffed up, popping people in the head, and, you know, like this anointing, if he had that anointing, like it's, you know, from him or something like that. But it doesn't parade itself. So it's not, look at me. And God, He suffers long with us, and He's kind to us. What's the kindness of God lead us to? Repentance. Metanoia. Repentance isn't like the tradition has made that word. It just means a mind change. I think different than I did. When you repent for salvation, I was in unbelief, and now what? I changed my mind to belief. And when you change your mind, you change your attitude, then your actions will follow. See, God's always working from within, and it's out. You know what legalism does? It works out here. Tells you to get it together, clean it up. But none happens inwardly. God starts here. He transforms us. We start thinking like He thinks if we get into this Word. That's why it's so important. So the Word of God that worketh in you, energizes you, and the Holy Spirit, you start thinking like God. When God looks at the people in the world, think of all the evil in our world. Just in our country. All the things going on, where our countries went. And God loves every single person. Guess what? God loves our president. Go on Facebook, boy, you got people just hating him. I don't agree with policies. I don't hate him. I pray for him. You know, God loves him too, and he needs Christ. And it says, does not behave itself unseemingly, rudely. God's never rude to us. And when we're loving, we're not going to be rude to someone else. Seeketh not her own. Love, what is it humanly normal for human beings? What's the old saying? If you don't take care of yourself, ain't nobody going to take care of you, right? We're brought up on that thing. It's me and I need my satisfaction and my way, and that's the whole world's like that. Because they're trying to find, apart from God, they're trying to find meaning and purpose, and there is none. All they'll do is, because you know what all them things are? They're idols. That people and believers can put idols and before God too. What's more important than God to us? That's an idol, you know. And we think this is going to satisfy or make me fulfilled or make me happy. And what happens? Just controls you. And then what do you got to do? So then, just as you began in Christ Jesus, what? Continue in Him. How do you begin? By faith, dependence, right? I go back to the cross. That's where we got saved, right? Just trusting, that's my cross. Christ had no sin to die of His own. He's dying my pain, my death. And what happens? We walk in that freedom. Is not easily provoked. I don't know about you. I get more convicted when I preach. I got stepsons. I get provoked. And you say, well, they made me. Oh, she made me. He made me. They made me. No. Bob George used to say, you know, you can't stir beans in a pot if there ain't beans there. You know? It just shows where we're walking. I think it's no evil. So, God doesn't think evil towards us. You say, but you don't know what I did, what I thought, how I acted. God isn't thinking evil towards you. He's looking at you, like I said last week. When He looks at you, He smiles because you're His child. He sees you as holy, without blemish, perfect in His sight. Say, but you don't know what I did. He's not dealing with you in your sins and your actions. He's dealing with you in your identity. He dealt with sins once and for all, so He'd never have to deal with them again. Paul always begins telling people who they are to the saints in Corinth. You talk about a carnal church, but he reminds them who God has made them. You're set apart. This is who you were, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, set aside by the Holy Spirit. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things. That's putting up with things, right? So you think of bearing on your shoulders. It ain't easy to love. You know? But when it's hard for you, the Holy Spirit will always bring us. Do you understand God's love because things are going good? Maybe things are going good in the ministry or that. Or do you understand God's love by God demonstrate His love in this, while we're still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us? Whenever, if you're wondering, you're going through hard things, always the cross. And it wasn't easy for Christ, was it? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? I pronounced things terrible, so I don't know if I said it right. Christ is sweating great drops of blood. The Father showed Him the cup He's going to have to drink. And where Adam in the garden made a choice to be independent of God, what did Christ do? He chose, Father, not my will, but your will, to be in dependence on God. And when He was on that cross, you think it was easy for Him?
No.
And He's dying for us, not because when we're grown spiritual people, going to church and giving offerings and in ministry and teaching Sunday school or teaching Thursday night or being a pastor, while we're still sinners. And Christ takes all that upon Him. Them dogs were attacking Him. Satan, he's getting hit emotionally. His mind. Anything the worst you could think of, what Satan has done to you, like at times just attacking your mind, you just feel beat up in your thoughts, you don't even know what to pray for. It's all this. Satan and all his cohorts, they're ripping at him, talking about the dogs and the bulls of Bashan and everything. And then there's the physical. It wasn't easy for Christ to love. And it ain't easy for us to love. But it's a choice. We have the Holy Spirit in us, right? And He pours the love of Christ. And when we choose to make that choice to love someone, and we never think of it as, because it's hard, right? We never think of it as an opportunity for the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if I asked every one of you, if everyone's a believer, do you want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? I think everyone would say, yeah, if you're a true believer. Well, if there ain't obstacle, how God's going to demonstrate His love? And we make choices. And I made a lot of bad choices I've regretted in my life, but I've never regretted a good choice. Though it ain't always the easiest. It always, there's something there, there's fruit that's born in that. And like I said, people see that. We're the letter. Remember Paul told the Corinthians? They were the letter of Christ. We're the letter that people see. So that's sometimes why we don't do certain things. One thing, we know who our identity in Christ. and we're being transformed, and we're learning to walk worthy. And it slipped my mind. I do that a lot. When I talked about where Paul said, "Walk worthy of your calling," that "walk worthy" in the Greek has the idea of stabilized, balanced out. You're being consistent. You know, just like if your father told you, when you leave this house, if you're a teenager, teenagers, walk worthy. Don't bring no shame on our name. That's the idea. You're my child. Just walk who you are. I've taught you. I've instilled things in you. And with God, I'm in you. Don't forget. Wherever you go, you take me with you. You know, David tried to escape God, didn't he? He found some out. If I go to the deep, that's to the sea, or there, you know. Jonah too. Huh? So this is the kind of love. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is how God loves you. And as we understand His love, the height, depth, the width, and length, as the Holy Spirit, because it's too much for our finite minds to understand, but the Holy Spirit, God can do what? More than we could ever what? Think, ask, imagine. It's the Holy Spirit teaches us this love. And then, you want to share that love, don't you? You want to share that love with people. That's why you use the missionaries, right? You care about them people in Thailand or wherever it might be. With your families, don't you want them to be saved? Because there's that desire in your heart because you love them. Even the ones I don't like in my family, I want to see them saved. You ain't got to like somebody to love them. See, we got that idea maybe that we got to like them, love them. No, God never said like them. All right, let's go to Colossians 1, 5 to 8. And that kind of love, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what we're just looking at. I would encourage you this week to go on your own. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that produces that, because you as try as you can, you won't be able to love in your own strength like that. Colossians 1, 5 to 8. For the hope, and this is a prayer that Paul was doing for the saints in Colossae, and also for us. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, right? Somebody shared the word with them, I believe it was Epaphroditus, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit. See, when you share the truth with people, did he say it's bringing it right away? Seeds sometimes take a while, and different seeds, you know, and in bad ground, hard ground, sometimes it takes even a lot longer. But the when you stay, you know, I think of our church. It's been growing. You know, I was praying for that, not for numbers, big deal, you know. Nice for maybe the pastor could get a raise, it would be nice to see. He used to work a part-time job for years, and, you know, a small, this ain't country no more, but years back probably would have been considered a country church. But he stood on this word. He stood for the message of God's grace, right division. Paul's our apostle. So you can get to the message of what is the message of the mystery? It's all based on Christ. It's just not a bunch of details. There are details, so you don't get confused. But the mystery is Christ in you, hope for glory. Paul's whole message was focused in Christ. And then in Christ, what He's made you. And then living out that message. But when the gospel comes and You just stay focused. A guy just passed away on Facebook, and he was a real encourager. I call certain people grace warriors, sharing right division, life in Christ, and he just passed away. But to the end, and you know, when you're sharing, boy, you're going to get some backlash from the most from the religious people. You know, I didn't say believers, religious people who believe in their religion, man-made religion. But to the end, that dude, I'll miss him. Because he was an encouragement. When I post something, he would make a comment, you know. And he's posting something, I'd repost it. I'm like a good comedian. I steal it, boy. If it's good, you know, I'll steal it. I shouldn't say that. I should say borrow it, you know. But he says in verse 6, which the gospel, the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. See, when you grasp grace and it grasps you, not just the details, that it gets a hold of your mind, your heart, your spirit, your soul, and then it grasps your heart. It means something, what Christ did. It means something that Christ is in me. Then what happens? Fruit's going to come out. It just happens. We can't produce it. All we can do is bear it. And he says, as you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, so that's who led him to the message of grace in the Lord, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Where did love come from? Love in the Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit who produces that in us. We're just going to do a couple more verses. I got it, like 5 minutes. Romans 15:30. Like I said, Paul's our pattern. He's to do all-nighters. Don't worry, I got to get up early for work. Right? Romans 15:30. Here's grace motivation. The law said what? Thou shall not. Thou do. What's the motivation? Fear. Or if I want from God, it's sort of selfish in ways. Because if I want God to bless me, I got to do something. And if I don't, it's fear. That's what I'm going to say 90% of the teaching, I'm being nice, that's taught in churches today is legalism. Whether it's the Ten Commandments or their own defenses like the Pharisees made. But here he says what? Now I beseech, that's urge. I'm begging you. That's the motivation of grace. Why? In view of God's mercy, Romans chapter 12, right? In view of God's compassions. If you read, you can't just come into Romans 12 and offer your body. You've got to know what God did in view of that. You think He took us out of Adam, placed us in Christ. Christ suffered all of our debt. Now we've been made alive. We're forgiven completely. We have redemption. We're declared righteous, justified. And after all these things, now, this is grace motivation. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, see that? Where's the love come from? The Spirit. That ye strive together with prayers, with me in your prayers to God for me. So, what should this tell us? Paul's our pattern. We should be praying for each other. I'm praying every morning for our church. Genesis, I seen him at the Bible conference, and then it's really a surprise to see us and a great pleasure today. But they're on my fridge. They're way across the world. But we can pray. We need to pray for our missionaries. And there's grace churches all over the Philippines and grace pastors in different places. So we can't name every single one. But we can pray God and all them little grace churches, just, you know, bless them and use them and give them perseverance and endurance when you don't see nothing happening, living by faith and not sight, because God's faithful. When I was going through, and it was a couple years, them terrible times when this church was so good to us in that time, financial and just physical, but I was like, Lord, you're righteous. That's why you got to know this word. And I said, you ain't going to start doing something wrong with me. You said that you'll supply my needs. And He did bring us through that. But stress, man, when I had my focus off, but when I had my focus on and believing these promises, grace promises in Paul's epistles, not that you go to the Old Testament or Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or early Acts, you know, that you can, you know, heal people, raise the dead, and all this. And they promised us for today. God said He'll meet our needs, you know. And when He began in us, He'll finish. And to realize that it's God that's working in us. It's not all on our shoulders. Our only thing is a response. You know what our responsibility is? It's so simple. Look at all you are thinking, all these different things. Get up in the morning, read the Word, pray, go to church, come to Thursday night Bible study. That's probably a pretty good one. But no, our response, our responsibility is our response to His ability. Christ in you, your hope for glory. That the Spirit of Christ, He's with us all the time. And that we remember that, and that remember you were created to be a container of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to express Christ out of us. That's a privilege. We can rejoice every day in that. So with that, I'm going to close a prayer, and I didn't even get through, as usual, all my verses, but hopefully with my bumbling attempts at the Holy Spirit, you know, when you offer, you ain't got to be perfect. Just offer yourself. And I know He used me somewhere. So I'm just very thankful that He can use us. Yeah? And it's just our response to His ability and the attitude of gratitude that we want to serve Him. And persevere in there. Don't let Satan, you know, attack you in different areas. And it's just let our goal be to finish the race. Yeah. Go for the gold. Yeah. You know? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, God, that for Your grace and to be able to come to an understanding of rightly dividing Your Word so we can learn what You're doing today, what our promises are, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit today, to walk in Your Holy Spirit, so we can learn, Lord, to do that by faith. And Lord, thank You that You didn't leave it in our hands to live this Christian life. Only Christ could give us this life, His resurrected life in us, and only He can live it through us. And we get tired, God, because we start, I think, going on our own strength, because Your strength is infinite. Yet You don't cast us aside. You just remind us that we can do all things through Christ. Get our focus back on Him. And then we can't take any of the glory, God. We can only give it to You. And I pray for every single person here, Lord, people here through the internet. I pray, Father, that we'll more and more learn what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, that we'll see ourselves as You see us, and that we would walk worthy of that calling, empowered by Your Holy Spirit. And also, Lord, we want to raise Genesis and his family up to You. It's hard, God, to go to a place and you don't see fruit right away. But like our pastor, Lord, years and years of just teaching Your truth and being available, and now fruit is being born. And I just pray that Your Spirit works mightily in them, and that You bring people whose hearts are prepared, Father, to listen to the message. Because if their hearts aren't prepared, it's like trying to share with the brick wall. But You know who's empty, Lord. You know who is wondering what life's about, that whatever they believe in isn't working. And I pray, Father, that You'll just bless that ministry and enlarge their borders. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, thank y'all. I hope that was helpful somewhat. Does anybody got any?